This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, produced and hosted by Mimi Rosenberg and Ken Nash.
Today we will present a special program with speeches and interviews from the massive demonstration on Saturday, October 2nd at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. The One Nation Working Together March on Washington, sponsored by the AFL-CIO, the NAACP, La Raza, and hundreds of progressive organizations to demand jobs to put people to work and back to work. Jobs, economic security, comprehensive immigration reform, safe and renewable energy policy, and a reversal of national priorities from making wars to meeting human needs. That's the message. Featured on today's program are AFL-CIO President Richard Trumka, U.S. Representative Luis Gutierrez, and a remarkable call for peace and justice from the great Harry Belafonte, along with the voices of American workers for jobs with justice. And now to the rally.
Hello, One Nation. My name is Angela Orofsky from Bent Salem, Pennsylvania. I know how painful it is to be out of work. I was laid off 2 years ago. I've been looking and looking with no avail. This year, I joined Working America as a volunteer because I know I may be unemployed, but I've still got a job to do. I am organizing jobless people because it's horrible out there. All we want is work. I don't believe that's too much to ask. Working people need to catch a break sometime. Thank you.
Buenas tardes. Good afternoon. Hola, America. Hello, One Nation. My name is Ms. Minaya, and I am a public school teacher from New York City in Washington Heights. I need everyone to hear the voice of our educators.
Peter.
I am marching with you today because I believe that the American dream begins in our classrooms. I believe that educators are a big part of the solution, and it's wrong to paint us as the problem. I believe that good jobs and a quality public education for all goes hand in hand. Thank you. Gracias. Trabajando juntos, hacemos las diferencias.
My name is Michelle Esquilin. I'm a home care attendant from the Bronx. I care for my elderly clients. I don't make a lot of money, and it's hard, but I love my job. I make people feel secure when I'm there with them. They count on me because I be there. I'm marching so that everyone can do their jobs they love and still make a good living. Thank you.
I'm Bernie Hall, and I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I'm proud to say that I'm a steel worker. I'm marching today because we need to bring manufacturing jobs back to America. We need to rebuild our crumbling infrastructure, our roads, our bridges, and our schools. We need to get back to making things in America again.
Thank you, union brothers and sisters. And now, the president of the AFL-CIO, Mr. Richard Trumka.
Hello, America. You know, you look like one nation, one beautiful nation. There is nothing that we can't do when we stand together, side by side, shoulder to shoulder. There's no power greater than what you see all around here today in our nation's capital. If you watch too much TV, you might think that we're a nation full of hate, that we've turned against the values that made our country great. But no, that's not America. America is here today. America is freedom of religion. America is Dr. King and President Lincoln and their spirit living in you and me today. America is one nation, and we signify that nation. But never forget, behind the voices of fear and hatred are the forces of greed, the moneyed powers that put us in the economic mess that we're in today. So we have a lot of work to do to repair the damage that greed did to our country. We come together today because America needs jobs, good jobs, jobs that will support families, jobs that will give our young people paths of opportunity, not obstacles. We need an economy that works for Main Street. You see, it's going to take something big to get America going again. And if we're going to build our dreams, turn them into reality, then we have to be bold. We have to rebuild our schools, our roads, our bridges. We have to compete and win in the world economy with investments in world-class energy, high-speed rail, and green technology so that we can fight climate change and create good jobs. And we have to ensure that working men and women have the freedom to make every last job a good job by joining together in a union to bargain for a better life. That's the American dream. The promise that if you work hard, you can have a good life, earn a living wage, and a future for your children. And that's what we can do as one nation. Promise that you won't let anybody divide us or turn us against each other. And promise that you'll make your voices heard for good jobs and justice and education today and on Election Day. Because we believe in this one nation, and we're ready to fight for it. So it's time for you to stand together, fight together, and we will win together, and we won't let anyone stand in our way.
It's about the power to the people. I want to turn the program over now to my great progressive brother, Mr. Joe Madison.
I just found out they sent in a satellite image of the crowd. Somebody go tell Glenn Beck there are more people here right now than there was. Folk. 47 years ago, A. Philip Randolph said, if you look for the enemies of Medicare, of higher minimum wage, of Social Security, of federal aid to education, there you will find the enemy of the Negro, the coalition of Dixiecrats and reactionary Republicans that seek to dominate Congress. Advance those words to 2010, change Dixiecrat to Tea Party, reactionary Republicans, they're still there, and we cannot let them dominate Congress or the White House. We stand on the shoulders of some people who are here on the front row, and the front row is where they should be. Let me recognize one of the Little Rock Nine. Ladies and gentlemen, please, Ernie Green, give him a round of applause. It is now my honor to introduce another giant, who's been on the scene for seems like ever. You only have to say two words. Harry Belafonte!
Thank you. I would like to start off by thanking all my brothers and sisters in 1199 and the president of that union, Mr. George Gershom. Thank you for inviting me to participate in today's ceremony. In 1963, Martin Luther King Jr. stood on the steps of this memorial and declared that this nation should come together and embrace its greater ideals. He said that we should rally together and overcome injustice and racism, and that all citizens should not only have the right to vote, but that we should exercise that right and make America whole. That is part of why we are here today. But we are also here to tend to other grievances. Martin Luther King Jr. said that America would soon come to realize that the war that we were in at that time, in Vietnam, was not only unconscionable, but unwinnable. 58,000 Americans died in that cruel adventure, and over 2 million Vietnamese and Cambodians perished. Now today, almost a half a century later, as we gather at this place where Dr. King prayed for the soul of this great nation, tens of thousands of citizens from all walks of life have come here today to rekindle his dream and once again hope. All America will soon come to the realization that the wars that we wage today in faraway lands are immoral, unconscionable, and unwinnable. The Central Intelligence Agency tells us that the enemy we pursue in Afghanistan and in Pakistan, the Al-Qaeda, they number less than 50, I say 50 people. Do we really think that sending 100,000 young American men and women to kill innocent civilians, women and children, and antagonizing the tens of millions of people in the whole region somehow makes us secure? Does this make any sense? The president's decision to escalate the war in that region alone costs the nation $33 billion. That sum of money could not only create 600,000 jobs here in America, but would even leave us a few billion to start rebuilding our schools, our roads, our hospitals, and affordable housing. It could also help to rebuild the lives of the thousands of our returning wounded veterans. Dr. King loved this nation. He saw that this great nation should not be allowed to perish. Martin's vision was also the vision of Abraham Lincoln, who understood the evil of slavery, and in abolishing that evil, saved America. Although slavery may have been abolished, crippling poison of racism still persists, and the struggle still continues. We have the largest prison population in the world. And as we industrialize these prison systems, we rob hundreds of thousands of workers of the jobs that they need and the wages that are rightfully theirs. The plight of women bear no better. Their oppression refuses to yield as rape and domestic violence and sex slaves and teenage pregnancy abounds. But perhaps the greatest threat of all is the undermining of our Constitution and the systematic attack against the inalienable rights of the citizens of this nation, rights that are guaranteed by our Constitution. At the vanguard of this insidious attack is the Tea Party. This band of misguided citizens is moving perilously close to achieving villainous ends. This gathering here today is America's wake-up call. The giant called democracy is at last stirring again. Citizens are coming together to say freedom does not sleep. It may have been fueled and lulled for the moment into a lethargy, but it's fully awake now, and we the people are its engine. We must awaken the apathetic, the cynical, the many angry doubters who see their future as the perpetual hopelessness, and show them that our greatest weapon is the vote, and it is the answer to much that nags at us. On November 2nd, in the millions, we must overburden our voting booths by voting against those who would see the nation become a totalitarian state. Americans know that Dr. King's dream is not dead. Let us vote on November 2nd for jobs, for jobs, for jobs, for peace, for justice, for human rights, for our children, and the future of America. And let us put an end to war. Peace is necessary for justice. It is necessary for hope. It is necessary for our future. I love you all.
I am honored to stand here today with Congressman Luis Gutierrez, a true advocate for justice. A just society means an end to racial profiling. And I mean this seriously, it means stemming the tides of anti-immigrant extremist behavior.
Thank you. Today I want to talk about two important words, hard work. I want to talk about the men and the women who clear the dishes in restaurants, the man who supports his family by working as a janitor, the woman bent over sewing machines, making our clothes, the women caring for America's children, the families picking America's fruit. It's hard work. Yet immigrants come to our nation to work at dangerous and sometimes demeaning jobs to face the risk of discrimination and deportations. They come to do hard work. On TV news, we don't see many pictures of the immigrants sweeping the floor in the hospital or caring for a sick child. But we see lots of pictures of scary invaders jumping over fences or prisoners in handcuffs. Far too many people, the two words that come to mind when they think of immigrants are, go home. It's our job to replace them with two words that tell the real story, hard work. The people who marched in this spot 47 years ago knew something about hard work, because the struggle for fairness, for justice, for freedom is hard work too. Protecting our civil rights is hard work. And our immigrant struggle for civil rights is born of the African-American struggle for civil rights. The Latino and immigrant struggle is not a reinvention of the civil rights movement. It is the continuation of the civil rights movement, growing bigger, growing stronger, picking up new allies along the way, helping each of us, letting everybody know nobody will turn us around. We cannot achieve justice for immigrants without the words and actions of Dr. King and his brothers and sisters. You see, you don't get a Cesar Chavez without a Martin Luther King. You don't get Sonia Sotomayor without Thurgood Marshall. You don't get Roberto Clemente without Jackie Robinson. And you don't get comprehensive immigration reform without civil rights for all in this nation. But we did get Sonia Sotomayor. We did get Roberto Clemente. We did get Cesar Chavez. And together we will get comprehensive rewiring two of our immigration system. People always say the struggle is too hard. The goal is just too far away. But we know that the arc of moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. We know it's true. We've seen it. It used to be illegal for workers to form a union. It used to be illegal for women to vote. It used to be illegal for blacks and whites to attend the same schools. But because we did the hard work, the arc of the moral universe bent. It bent towards workers' rights, voting rights, and housing rights. But right now, today, it is illegal for millions of people who live in this country to come out of the shadows and enjoy the prosperity of their hard work and the responsibilities that come with citizenship. We are here today to work hard, to keep bending that arc until it watches over every immigrant in this nation. And I'm not going to stop fighting until we turn on the news, even Fox News, and see the pictures of immigrants doing hard work and making America great. The fight for justice and jobs and civil rights is a movement. It is a family of workers, of straight men and gay women, of Asians and African Americans, of women, of every single immigrant of our nation. Abraham Lincoln, the man we built this memorial to, understood it already 150 years ago. A nation divided against itself cannot stand. So together, together, as a family, we will rise up. We will stand and we will run together towards justice for every American, whether they were lucky enough to be born here or ambitious enough to have come here to make this land their own. It's hard work, but we can do it. Sí se puede!
Sí se puede!
We're here with a group of women who are SEIU, and you can't miss those purple, yellow, and white shirts, and they are all the way from Michigan. And we're going to find out about the kind of work they do and what brought them here today. Sister, you are?
My name is Gwen Pryor, Service Employees International Union, and I'm a home health care provider.
My name is Kimberly Ogden, and I'm a CNA at Lutheran Homes of Livonia.
And my name is Valerie Roberts. I'm a home health care provider also.
My name is Tammy Broughton. I work at Henry Ford Health Center, and I'm a home care provider.
You're a long way from home, ladies. Why did you come here today? What's the message?
The message is health care reform. We're interested in seeing universal health for all.
The same. Health care jobs to support Obama. He still needs time. He didn't make these problems, so therefore he needs time to clear it up.
We're here for jobs and justice. We're here to support Obama. We're here to let him know that hope is still alive and that we're here to support him.
We're here for jobs and justice, and we're also here to make some noise to make this country aware. They say the recession is over with, but a lot of us in certain areas of this country cannot tell. We do not have the proper jobs with the proper wages. That's why I'm here.
And we didn't catch your name earlier.
Oh, I am so sorry. Phyllis Austin.
And what kind of work do you do, sister?
Home health care.
Now, that is one of the most difficult jobs there is. Total health care and all that. It's a rough, rough gig. So what about the particular kind of conditions and the things that you need to make your lives better? Is that part of the message? And if so, what are those things?
Home health care is not being paid properly. You can't even pay rent, let alone buy groceries. The wages are very low, but it's still a need to be done. And so a few of us, hundreds of thousands of people, to feel that need. But we still need to make the awareness of it's not enough money in it. And so being that it's like there's not enough jobs that people want in it because you can't pay no bills. We just care about the people that we tend to.
And we're very concerned about the people that we take care of. And part of the problem is we take care of them and we don't have anyone to take care of us. We don't have adequate insurance. We don't have enough insurance to take care of our family. So we need someone to support us as we support those that need help themselves. So we all in this together.
And I agree with what has been said.
You know, we got these dittos, and it's interesting. I am staring straight ahead at the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial behind me. That's pretty symbolic. Here we are, close to what was Martin Luther King's March on Washington, And just a couple of weeks earlier, Glenn Beck was here. What's the difference between the rally that Glenn Beck had and the rally that's here today?
Well, I think the difference is the people. The people speak for itself. These people are here because they need a change. They need a change in just about every policy that's taking place that's concerning our workplaces, our wages, our health care. We just need the change, and these people are out here to make the loud noise to say we need that change.
And one of the biggest differences is that we're here to support each other. We're not here to break down this country. We're trying to bring everybody together. It doesn't matter what race or what religion, it doesn't matter what work you're doing, we're one nation. And that's what we want everyone to know. We're one nation. Glenn Beck, they want to divide and conquer. We're no longer going to let that happen. We're together in this.
Pretty powerful message, sandwiched, as I said, in between the Washington and the Lincoln Memorial. Thank you, my sisters.
Thank you.
Well, this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.